All right, so today we're diving into something pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
It's the official breed standard for Burmese cats.
That's right.
This is like the ultimate guide, the rule book. It's officially known as the SH19BUR2024.PDF.
It's a pretty detailed document, and it
Yeah.
tells you basically everything you need to know about what makes a Burmese cat a Bernese cat.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was really surprised by how detailed it actually is. Like, we're talking about everything from their overall look to the feel of their fur, even the specific shades of color their coat can be.
Absolutely. And we're going to break all of that down in this deep dive. So if you've ever wondered what truly defines a Burmese cat, according to, the official standards,
Right.
stick with us.
Okay, so let's jump right in. The standard starts by describing the general appearance of the Burmese, calling it an elegant cat of medium foreign type. What do you make of that?
Well, elegant definitely jumps out at you, right? And medium foreign type, to me, that suggests a cat that has a certain refinement, a sort of exotic look to it.
Yeah.
It's not too stocky or bulky, but it's also not too slender or angular either. It's kind of striking that balance.
Yeah, it really does seem to be about finding that balance. And the document emphasizes that this is a really distinctive look. It says that the Burmese type is positive and quite individual to the breed. And it's not just about having certain traits, but it's also about what a Burmese shouldn't look like, right?
Right.
Like they specifically mention that any signs of Siamese characteristics or what they call the cobbiness of a British short hair, those are considered false.
Absolutely. And I think that's so interesting because it's defining the breed, not just by what it is, but also by what it isn't. And of course, there's that great phrase, the distinctive Burmese frown,
Right.
which is such a vivid way to describe this key characteristic. It's that subtle expression that's created by the way their ears are set, the shape of their eyes and their brow. It's like a little trademark of the breed.
It's so true. You see a Burmese and you just know it's a Burmese, even if you can't put your finger on exactly why.
Okay, let's get a little more specific now and talk about their head, ears, and neck.
All right.
What are we looking for here?
Well, the ideal head shape is described as being slightly rounded on the top with good width between the ears. And then those cheekbones, they should be nice and broad and taper down into what's called a short blunt wedge for the muzzle.
A blunt wedge, so not super pointy, but also not completely round.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the jaw should be quite wide at the hinge and lead down to a firm chin. And they specifically mention that what's called a muzzle pinch is a fault.
Okay.
Where the muzzle looks too narrow or tight, you don't want that.
Interesting.
And when you look at their profile, there should be good depth between the top of the skull and the lower jaw, a slightly rounded brow, a distinct nose break.
Mohs break, is that like a slight change in the angle?
Yeah, it's a subtle but noticeable change in the angle of the nose.
And then the nose itself should be straight. And if you imagine drawing a line straight down from the tip of the nose, it should line up perfectly with the tip of the chin.
Gotcha.
And good chin depth, too. That's important. And their ears should be medium in size, set quite wide apart, broad at the base, with slightly rounded tips. And when you look at them in profile, they should tilt slightly forward. Now, one interesting note,
Yeah.
the standard mentions that larger ears in kittens are allowed as long as they're still correctly shaped.
Oh, that makes sense. They're still growing into their features at that point.
Exactly. And as for the neck, it should be of medium length.
Okay, simple enough.
Yeah.
Now, the eyes. For so many breeds, the eyes are a defining characteristic.
Right.
So, what's considered ideal for a Burmese?
So the standard really emphasizes that the eyes need to be set well apart. And they use the phrase large and lustrous, almost shining. And the shape is very specific. The top line of the eye should slant in a straight line, what they call an oriental slant, towards the nose. And the bottom line should be nicely rounded. And round eyes or slit eyes, those are both false.
So it's almost like an almond shape, but with that bottom curve being a little more pronounced.
Yeah, that's a good way to visualize it.
Yeah.
And then we get to the color, which is really crucial. The eyes should be any shade from yellow to amber, with golden yellow being the preferred color. And they even point out that how bright or intense the color looks can be affected by lighting, so ideally they should be assessed under moderately diffused daylight.
Wow, so even the lighting conditions play a role.
They do, and there are allowances made for kittens
Sure.
whose eye color is still developing and for a slight dilution of color in older cats. But green eyes, that's a hard no. That's actually grounds for withholding top awards.
That's a strict color requirement. Okay, let's move on to the body, legs, and tail. What are the key things to look for here?
So the body should be medium in length and size overall. Now, males are typically a little bit larger than females, and that's allowed for. But what's really interesting here is the emphasis on how they feel. They should feel surprisingly hard and muscular, often heavier than they actually look.
So you might think they're lighter than they actually are.
Exactly. The chest should be strong and rounded when you look at them from the side, and their back should be straight from the shoulders to the rump. The legs are described as being slender and in good proportion to the body, with the hind legs being slightly longer than the front legs.
Okay.
And the paws, neat and oval. Now for the tail, it should be straight and of medium length, not too heavy at the base, and it should taper gently towards a rounded tip, without any kinks or anything like that.
So no little bends or curves.
Right, no whip tail, which means a very thin and whippy tail, or any kind of kink in the tail. That's actually another reason for withholding top awards if it's visible.
Got it. So nice, smooth, tapering tail, moderate length. All right, what about the coat and their overall condition?
So the coat is really a defining feature of the Burmese. It should be short, very fine, and satin-like, lying close to the body. And they specifically mentioned the glossy coat being a really distinctive feature. It's also a sign of good health.
Yeah, that sleek, shiny look is definitely something you associate with Burmese cats.
Right. And then when it comes to their condition, a Burmese should be well-muscled, carrying a good weight for their size, but not fat. They should be lively and alert, and when you handle them, they should feel firm and toned. In fact, a lack of proper weight or condition can also be grounds for withholding top awards.
So it's not just about how they look. Their physical fitness is also important.
Definitely. And now we get to the really detailed part, which is the color standards.
This is where things get really specific.
Yes. This document goes into so much detail about the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into the specifics, there are some general guidelines that apply to all the accepted colors. So first, the fur on their underparts should be slightly lighter than the color on their back.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, you want a coat that's free from any distinct barring or spotting. There is one exception, which we'll get to later.
Hey.
Another point is that for mature cats over the age of 2, there shouldn't be a really big difference in color between their mane coat and their points. And points refer to their face, ears, paws, and tail. So if there's too much contrast there, that could be a reason for withholding awards.
Interesting.
But they do make allowances for kittens whose coats can be lighter overall while they're still developing their full adult color.
That makes sense. Now, what about things like a few stray white hairs? How does the standard address that?
Well, a tiny number of white hairs might be overlooked in an otherwise exceptional cat.
Uh-huh.
But a noticeable number of white hairs or a distinct white patch, that's a serious fault.
Okay.
They do make an allowance for a light sprinkling of white hairs over the shoulder area.
I see.
Which can happen as a result of injections or in breeding queens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the document also mentions something called sepia.
Yeah, can you explain what that means in terms of Burmese colors?
So sepia refers to a particular genetic effect related to what's called temperature-sensitive albinism. It's kind of like, you know how some old photos develop that warmer, slightly faded tone?
Yeah.
Well, it's a similar thing happening with the Burmese pigment. It basically means that the color is expressed a bit paler and warmer than it would be otherwise.
Oh, that's a great way to explain it.
So you'll often see that Burmese coats darken as they get older,
mm-hmm.
and kittens might have a slightly more intense color on their points while they're young.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's dive into some of the specific colors now.
Okay.
Where should we start?
Well, we can start with some of the most sort of foundational colors.
All right.
So first we have seal, which is officially coded as B-U-R.
B-U-R.
And this is basically that lovely, rich, dark seal brown color
mm-hmm.
that fades to a slightly lighter shade on their underparts. Their nose leather and paw pads should be brown.
Okay, and then what about blue?
So blue, which is B-U-R-A, that's that soft silvery gray.
Okay.
It's only very slightly darker on the back and tail.
Right.
And often has a sort of silvery sheen, especially on the rounded areas like their ears and face and paws.
Mm.
And their nose leather and paw pads should be a solid gray.
Those are definitely two of the colors I think of right away when I think of Burmese cats.
Right, they're the classics.
So what comes next?
Well, then we have chocolate, which is B-U-R-B. And this is that warm, rich milk chocolate color.
Okay.
And their ears and mask, which is that darker area on the face, might be a touch darker than the rest of their coat. But ideally, you want their legs and tail and lower jaw to all be the same shade as their back.
So nice and even?
Yeah, evenness is important here. Mm. Their nose leather and paw pads should be warm chocolate brown.
Oh.
And sometimes you might see a slight cinnamon pink undertone there.
Oh, wow. That sounds lovely.
It is. And then we have lilac, BURC.
Okay.
And this is that beautiful, pale, delicate dove gray, that subtle pinkish hue. It has a very sort of soft, faded appearance.
Right.
And again, their ears and mask might be a touch deeper in color. Their nose leather is lavender pink. And their paw pads can actually start out as a shell pink in kittens
Oh, wow.
and then mature into that lavender pink as adults.
Interesting.
Then we have cinnamon, BURB1, which is a warm, light, coppery cinnamon color.
Okay.
And their mask and ears are allowed to be a bit darker. Their nose leather is light cinnamon, and their paw pads are bright pink as kittens,
Oh.
but then mature into a very light cinnamon with a pinkish undertone.
Interesting. And fawn.
Fawn is BURC1. This is a really pale, pearly fawn color with sort of pinkish and creamy undertones. They have kale gray nose leather, again, bright pink paw pads as kittens,
Okay.
that then mature to a very pale gray with pinkish undertones. You can see how specific these descriptions get.
It's incredible. Okay, now the standard also mentions red, BURD, and cream, BURG. And these are interesting because they can sometimes have faint markings, right?
Yes, so red is described as a light tangerine color. And this is where we have that exception to the rule about markings.
Right.
So in an otherwise excellent red Burmese, you might see very slight tabby markings on their face, and then small indeterminate markings elsewhere on their body are permissible, except for on their sides and belly.
Interesting.
And their ears should be noticeably darker than their back. Their nose leather and paw pads are pink.
Pink. Okay.
Now, cream is BURG. And this is a soft cream color with what they call a bloom, which gives it kind of a powdery look.
Okay.
And similar to the red, very slight tabby markings on the face, and those small indistinct markings elsewhere are acceptable, except on their sides and belly. Their ears should be only very slightly darker than their back, and their nose leather and paw pads are also pink.
So with both the red and cream, a little hint of that tabby pattern is okay.
Exactly, as long as it's very subtle. Now, there's also caramel, which is BURK.
Okay.
And apricot, which is BURKGK.
G, okay.
And these are accepted across all the Burmese patterns. So caramel has this warm-toned brownish lilac or fawn color on their body. And their legs and tail might shade to a pale apricot or honey beige.
Oh, wow.
And their face and ears will have a denser color with paler undersides. And they have a sort of metallic sheen, especially on their hocks, ears, and facial markings.
Metallic sheen, that's interesting.
It is. Their nose leather, paw pads, and even their eye rims are pinkish fawn.
Wow. Okay.
Now, apricot has a cool, dusty cast over an intense pinkish cream, and they also have that denser color on their mask and ears with paler undersides and that metallic sheen.
Interesting.
And their nose leather and paw pads are pink.
Okay, so that metallic sheen seems to be a unique characteristic of these two colors.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the torty variations.
Okay, for anyone who's not familiar with the term, torty is short for tortoise shell.
Right.
And it refers to a coat that has a mix of colors, right?
Exactly. So in all the torty variations of Burmese, the coat will display two shades of the base color. And sometimes you might even see what appears to be three or four colors.
Oh.
And these colors can be mingled together, or they can appear in patches or blotches, but they shouldn't form obvious bars or stripes.
Okay.
And it's interesting to note that blazes, which is a streak of color down the face, and solid colored legs or tail, are all perfectly acceptable in torties.
Huh.
The standard actually states that when you're judging torties, the overall body type and conformation are more important than the specific way the colors are distributed in the coat.
That's a good thing to remember.
It is.
It's about that foundational Burmese type, first and foremost.
Exactly. And then you have this beautiful tapestry of color on top of that.
So, what are some of the specific tortie variations we might see?
Well, we'll start with the seal tortie, which is BURE. And this is a mix of brown and red, and it can be mingled or blotched.
Okay.
Then you have blue tortie, BUREA, which is blue and cream.
Okay.
Chocolate tortie, BUREB, is chocolate and red. And lilac tortie, BUREC, is lilac and cream. And then there's cinnamon tortie, which is BUREB1. And this one combines cinnamon and red. They have light cinnamon nose leather and bright pink paw pads as kittens, maturing to a very light cinnamon with pinkish undertones. And finally, we have fawn torty, BURECY1, and this is a mix of that pale pearly fawn and a pale cream
Okay.
with pale gray nose leather and those bright pink paw pads as kittens
All right.
that then mature to a very pale gray with pinkish undertones.
So it seems like the base color is always combined with either red or cream.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now what about tabby Burmese? I know you mentioned that there's a very specific type of tabby pattern that's acceptable.
Yes, so for Burmese, the only acceptable tabby pattern is the ticked tabby pattern.
Okay.
This is different from the classic striped or blotched tabby patterns you see in other breeds.
Right.
So in a ticked tabby, each individual hair actually has bands of color along the shaft, which creates a much more subtle, almost stippled effect across the coat, rather than distinct stripes or blotches.
But that's interesting, like a salt and pepper look almost.
Yes, exactly. And the standard goes into a lot of detail about the specific colors for each tabby variation, outlining the ideal ground color, the color of the ticking or markings, the nose leather, paw pads, even the color of the eye rims and whisker pads.
Wow, they really don't miss a detail. So can you give us an example?
Sure. So take Seal Tabby, which is B-U-R-F. They have a warm fawn or brown ground color with clearly defined warm seal brown ticking. Their nose leather and paw pads can be warm seal brown or sometimes pink edge with seal brown. And their whisker pads are also warm seal brown.
Okay.
And you have Blue Tabby, B-U-R-F-A, which is a bluish ivory ground with soft silver gray ticking, gray nose leather and paw pads, or pink edged with gray, and soft silver gray whisker pads.
Wow, it's amazing how specific they get.
And then there's Chocolate Tabby, Lilac Tabby, Cinnamon Tabby, Fawn Tabby, Red Tabby, and Cream Tabby, all with their own very precise color descriptions for all those features.
That's incredible. Now, how does Torty Tabby work? How do you combine those two patterns?
So Torty Cabbies are genetically tabby cats. Oh. So underneath it all, they have that ticked tabby pattern.
Right.
The red or cream that makes them a Torty is essentially overlaid on top of that tabby pattern. And the standard says that the distribution of the red or cream patching is actually immaterial.
Okay, so it doesn't matter how those patches are arranged.
Exactly.
Got it. So what are some of the Torty Tabby variations we might see?
So we have Seal Torty Tabby, B-U-R-F-E, Blue Torty Tabby, B-U-R-F-E-A, Chocolate Torty Tabby, B-U-R-F-E, Lilac Torty Tabby, B-U-R-F-E-C, Cinnamon Torty Tabby, B-U-R-F-E-1, and Fawn Torty Tabby, B-U-R-F-E-C-1.
So basically all the tabby versions with that Torty influence added in.
Exactly.
Okay, now what about smoke Burmese? I know we hear about smoke colors in other breeds.
Yes.
It refers to that silvery undercoat, right?
Right. So a non-agouti cat, which means they don't have that banded hair shaft like a tabby that also carries a silver gene, will be classified as a smoke.
Okay.
So it's the silver gene that creates that silvery white undercoat with the tips of the outer hairs being the base color.
Oh,
so when the cat is still, they might look like a solid color, but when they move, you see that lighter undercoat.
Right, like a shimmery shadow underneath.
Yeah, and there can be variation in how much smoking there is.
Mm-hmm.
Breeders generally aim for the most silvery roots possible.
Interesting.
The standard does allow for faint trace markings on their tail, limbs, and forehead, but that's not ideal.
Okay.
So, for example, we have Seal Smoke, which is B-U-R-S, and this has a silvery white undercoat with the tips being dark, warm, seal brown.
Mm.
And their nose leather and paw pads should be dark seal brown or black.
Okay.
Then you have Blue Smoke, B-U-R-S-A, which has tips of soft silver gray and gray nose leather and paw pads.
Okay.
And then there's Chocolate Smoke, B-U-R-S-B, with warm milk chocolate tipping, Lilac Smoke, B-U-R-S-C, with that pale dove gray tipping and so on, through Cinnamon Smoke, Fawn Smoke, Red Smoke, and Cream Smoke, all with their corresponding tipped color and nose leather and paw cat colors.
And then, of course, we have Torty Smokes.
Of course, gotta have the Torties.
Which combine that smoke effect with those lovely mixed colors.
Yes, exactly. So in Torty Smokes, that silvery white or sometimes creamy undercoat is tipped with a mix of the base color and either red or cream, depending on the specific variation.
Okay.
So we have Seal Torty Smoke, B-U-R-S-E, Blue Torty Smoke, B-U-R-S-E-A, and so on, through Chocolate, Lilac, Cinnamon, and Fawn Torty Smoke, all with those corresponding colors for the nose leather and paw pads as well.
It's amazing how many different variations there are.
It is.
Okay, what about Silver Tabbies? How are they different from the regular tabbies?
So Silver Tabbies are agouti cats, which means they have that banded hair shaft that creates the tabby pattern.
Right.
But they also carry that silver gene.
Okay.
So their ground color is a clear silver with the ticked tabby markings being in the base color. Ideally, you want to see a really strong contrast between that bright silver ground and the darker markings.
So it's that same subtle ticked pattern, but on a silver background.
Exactly.
Got it. And what are the color variations within Silver Tabby?
Okay, so we have Seal Silver Tabby, B-U-R-S-F, which has a silver agouti ground with dense seal brown or black ticking, and their nose leather, paw pads, and whisker spots will also be seal brown or black.
Okay.
Then there's blue silver tabby, B-U-R-S-F-A, with silver gray ticking, chocolate silver tabby, B-U-R-S-F-B, with warm milk chocolate ticking, and lilac silver tabby, B-U-R-S-F-C, with dove gray ticking. And of course, we have cinnamon fawn, red, and cream silver tabbies as well, each with their own specific colors.
And just like the other patterns, I imagine there are also tortie silver tabbies.
Not a what?
Combining that silver tabby base with the tortie colors.
Right. So in tortie silver tabbies, you have that silver agouti ground with the tick tabby markings in the base color, but then you also have patches of red or cream overlaid on top.
Okay.
And again, just like with regular torties, the distribution of those patches doesn't really matter.
Got it. So we have seal tortie silver tabby, B-U-R-S-F-E, blue tortie silver tabby, B-U-R-S-F-E-A, and all the other variations as well.
Yes, right.
All right. We're almost through the entire spectrum of Burmese colors here. The last variation I have on my list is russet. This one sounds particularly interesting.
Yeah, russet Burmese are definitely unique. And theoretically, they can actually occur in any of the base colors we've already discussed.
Oh, really?
Yes, but what makes them so fascinating is how different the kittens look compared to the adults.
Oh, wow. How so?
So, russet kittens actually have coloring and markings that are almost identical to non-russet tabby kittens of the same age. But they lack that really crisp ticking, and they tend to have paler fur around the paw pads, the tip of the tail, and their genital area.
So the russet characteristic kind of develops as they grow?
Exactly. As they mature, the areas of solid base color gradually get overlaid with these gold to light tangerine tones. And this often starts on their head, which can actually become entirely reddish.
Wow.
On their back and sides, you'll see broad tipping with these gold to light tangerine shades developing, and there's a reduction in the density of color in the lower part of each hair shaft. So the overall appearance of the adult cat is superficially yellow to light reddish all over.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still see the original base color in the undercoat to varying degrees.
That's amazing. It sounds like they almost completely transform as they get older.
They really do.
Yeah.
And the nose leather in all the russet colors is pink.
Pink, okay.
And the paw pads, which may start out pale, will eventually lose all pigment and become bright pink as well. You'll also often see what are called thumbprints on their ears, which are slightly darker areas.
Oh, wow.
And interestingly, the red and cream russets don't go through quite as dramatic a color change as the other colors.
Okay.
They mainly just show a slight paling on the face, underside, paws, and tip of the tail.
Interesting.
Now, tabby russets can be very hard to distinguish from the non-agouti russets of the same base color. Often the only real difference is that the tabby russets might have a little less of the base color visible in the undercoat.
Okay.
And the standard actually refers you back to the non-agouti russet charts for the specific colors. And then similarly, silver and smoke russets will end up almost completely white or very pale as adults, regardless of their original base color.
Wow. It's incredible how the color can change so much as they mature.
Right. It's fascinating.
It really is. Okay, so this document also includes a scale of points for judging Burmese cats. Can you give us a quick overview of how that works?
Sure. So the total number of points is 100. And they're divided across several different areas.
Okay.
So the head, ears, and neck together account for 20 points, looking at things like the overall wedge shape, the profile, the length of the neck. The eyes are also worth 20 points based on their shape, placement, and color.
Mm-hmm.
The body, legs, and tail are worth 25 points, taking into account the overall build, the proportions of the legs and paws, the shape and length of the tail.
Okay.
The coat, which includes both texture and color, is the most heavily weighted at 30 points.
Wow, so the coat is really important.
It is. And finally, condition makes up the remaining 5 points.
So it sounds like physical structure and the quality and color of the coat, those are the most important factors in judging.
Yes, absolutely. And the document also lists specific faults and reasons why a judge might withhold top awards.
Okay, can you give us some examples of what they consider faults?
Well, in terms of general faults, we're talking about things that detract from the ideal Burmese type,
mm-hmm.
but they're not necessarily severe enough to disqualify a cat from competition.
Okay.
So some examples would be things like the presence of tabby bars, spots, or blotches in the coat, except, of course, for that tick tabby pattern.
Right.
Any eye color other than those shades of yellow or amber we talked about,
mm-hmm.
a whip-like tail or a short, thick tail, a straight facial profile, or a very marked nose break, ears that are too small, any bumps on the nose, a nose leather that's noticeably set back, or eyes that are protuberant.
Okay, so these are all things that go against those specific breed characteristics we discussed.
Exactly. Yeah, and then there are the more serious issues that would actually cause a judge to withhold a challenge certificate or a first place award, especially in the kitten classes.
Right, so what kind of things are we talking about there?
So these are for more significant deviations from the breed standard. Things like green eyes, a noticeable white patch, or a significant number of white hairs, any visible kinks in the tail, a body type that clearly resembles a Siamese or a British Shorthair, a lack of proper weight, or being in poor condition, and then any major issues with the head structure, like a flat or dished brow, an uneven skull, or any kind of cranial defect.
So these are things that really go against the core definition of what a Burmese should be.
Exactly. These are serious flaws in terms of the breed standard.
Wow, this has been a truly incredible deep dive into the world of Burmese cats.
It has.
And it's amazing how much detail goes into defining this breed.
Yeah, this document really leaves no stone unturned. It's a comprehensive guide to what makes a Burmese cat a Burmese cat.
It really does. And it makes you think, with all this incredible detail and specificity, how much variation might still exist within those standards?
Right.
You know, there's still room for individual cats to express their own unique traits.
Absolutely.
And it really speaks to the dedication of breeders and enthusiasts who are working to maintain these ideal
Yeah,
characteristics.
it's really impressive.
It really is. Well, thank you so much for joining me for this deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much.
It's been a pleasure.
And for our listeners, I hope this has given you a deeper appreciation for the amazing Burmese breed.
Me too.
And maybe it's even sparked some curiosity to learn more about the standards for other cat breeds.
Definitely.
Until next time.